Hello, everybody. My name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And you are now watching
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all.
Now, welcome back, everybody, where we're keeping you fresh in the world of mist.
And helping us feel better together, because Lord knows we need it.
So, friend, hi!
Hey, friend, hey!
How are you doing?
I'm alive. I'm black. That's enough. That's enough.
That is enough sometimes. I'll let you have that. I'll let you have it. How's the week been?
It's been a week, but I will say...
That was an old Negro.
Listen, tired. Tired! Down on my luck. You know, it's been life, and life happens sometimes, and it don't always go great. Sometimes life is really good, sometimes it's just okay, and sometimes it, you know, it kind of goes down from there, and then it just does this thing and you just ride the wave. I don't really have anything new this way. TV's the same. Music, I haven't found anything new yet. I haven't found anything new yet. So that is pretty much been it for me in a nutshell. Like, I just been dealing with personal stuff, trying to get stuff handled and do this and do that and adulting. That's the best way. That's excuse me. That's the best summarization for what this week has been for me. Is adulting, and that is not always fun when you have to deal with certain things. But yeah. That's it. What about you, friend? How's your week been?
Well, friend, first, I'm proud of you because you're doing it. Do it, do it. You're doing it well. Never mind if you don't know what that's from. But anywho, this week has been pretty good. Pretty chill, actually. I hadn't really been watching any TV. Been kind of studying normal music here or there. Throwing a little bit of K-Michelle in the mix for some reason. I don't know why she came up. But can I just say, K-Michelle is awesome. She's an awesome songwriter, an awesome singer. She might be a little bit, you know, I think that's something that we've all come to be familiar with dealing with, is that some of the greatest people are a little bit off their rocker, just a hair.
A little bit especially problematic, when they're all a little bit messy.
Just a little bit. And I'm not even going to say she's off her rocker, because she's had quite a few valid things happen over the span of her career.
They've been
very valid. So with that being said, I've been enjoying a lot of K-Michelle. Anything else? Like I said, I ain't been watching no TV. Just trying to get my shit together one day at a time. That's all I can do, to be honest. And in taking it one day at a time, taking the time to enjoy myself a little bit as well and not feeling bad about it, because I'd be like, nigga, you old. You need to get your shit together. Broke people shouldn't laugh. That's what I mean. I'd be like telling myself that sometimes. But no, I'm going to laugh regardless. It's fine. It's going to be all right. Always have been okay. Always will be okay. Get your shit together, but laugh in the process. It's fine. Everything's going to go how it go. We might all be gone tomorrow. So, you know, who knows? I feel like there was something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember.
It'll come back to you, friend.
It probably won't. That's fine, too. But that's all I got.
So I have a couple of things that I want to bring up that just were funny to me. Like, the situation isn't funny, but it's just funny to me, because I already said black people, we and I love to see it that we have all now collectively got on board with checking the fuck out. Like, we just don't give a fuck anymore. And I love it. But the first thing I want to bring up was France. France saying, run me back the Statue of Liberty, was the funniest thing that he said. Y'all have lost y'all's mind. Give us our shit back. They said, we finna come and just go ahead and FedEx it back to us. Throw it on to you all and bring it back over here to us.
Express, bitch. Express,
priority mail. We need this
right
now. You've lost your rabbit ass mind. That tickled me so bad. I was like, bro, you know shit is bad when they like, actually, we want the Statue of Liberty back. Shout out to my home state, Alabama, for being the racist that it is. I'm never surprised when I hear stuff like this about Alabama, but in Huntsville, Alabama, there was a Chipotle's, did you see the story?
I heard about it last night. I didn't see it. I literally just heard about it.
So they put that they didn't have any vinegar on the window, sign on the window, and they spell vinegar V-I-N-I-G-G-E-R.
Listen. First I was in the Discord, and they were talking about it, and when they first said it, I'm a little bit slow sometimes. So it went over my head. They was like, they misspelled vinegar in the window. I was like, it was probably an artistic, creative choice, them misspelling, because you know people misspell and say words wrong all the time, and then I was like, vinegar, vinegar. They spelled it like that? Wow. Yep, they did. They did. No, fuck them. Who was it? It was a Chipotle?
It was a Chipotle's. I was so tickled when I read this because I was like, first of all, everybody was like, it was an accident. I was like, baby.
It wasn't.
I'm actually from Alabama. I can 100% tell you that was not an accident in any capacity. They absolutely knew what they were doing.
And girl, how many labels do y'all got back there that say vinegar?
Here's the best thing. They don't have anything with that comes vinegar specifically. They have vinaigrette. So I'm a Moe's girl. We don't have Moe's here in Houston, unfortunately. But I mean, girl, pick your taco and nacho joint here. You can get way better than Moe's or Chipotle. Just I'm talking about a home. As soon as you come in, they can't do nothing but smile because they don't know no English. So yeah, y'all don't be naive. They absolutely knew what they were spelling. Speaking of people who absolutely knew what they were doing, I said I wasn't going to talk about this individual or this situation anymore, and I'm kind of not. I actually want to talk about the record label, because this also tickled me so bad. UMG found a junction to have the case dismissed. For those of you, and you can always go to, like the state, what is it called? It's not coming to me right now. You can go to the state to pull up legal documents and transcripts and stuff like that. But this stuff is public information for the most part, unless it's like highly sensitive, like child rape or rape in general, or, you know, you catch what I'm saying. Stuff like that is redacted. Then, yeah. Or certain famous people, like stuff like that. Confidential, that is redacted. Still, the officials can see it. We just can't. But we can get access to the rest of the transcript. Anyways, I digress. I say all that to say you can read UMG's transcript for their dismissal of Drake's case. And it is the funniest, pettiest thing. And go ahead, Frank.
To come from a corporation, the absolute pettiest thing I think I've ever seen. If you filing the lawsuit wasn't enough of a blow to your own career, if you didn't like shoot yourself in the foot enough with that, the people you're suing to come out and say the shit that they said, he lost. Everybody knows he lost. They saying he lost. Now he's mad. Then they mentioned everybody else in the lawsuit. Everybody else that had a beef, it was fine when it was him and Meek Mill. When Megan and Nicki was beefing, it was fine. Now that they said this was a beef that you egged on.
They said you egged on.
Attica when you said thought it, he wasn't dropping soon enough, you kept telling him to drop. Drop. Now Attica's, he dropped and you're suing me.
Atticus has said it so many times on the show. I think people forget it. Like, he did have them lines in the song, drop, like egging this. And then he drop kicked you in the top of your head. And then you didn't know how to bounce back from that. It's just my favorite part was when they was like, what did they say? Something about him being upset versus the unbothered rapper that he claims to be.
With quotes from his lyrics, like, wow.
I said, oh, girl.
I was like, what millennial Gen Z intern done wrote this up? because they're sick of him.
Wait, it's kind of over for you, my boy. Like, sometimes you got to know how to lose. Sometimes it's okay to take an L. It is okay to take an L. And again, you thought popularity was going to save you. And I mean, maybe to some degree it has, because people still defend you, even though you very, very clearly lost. I didn't already did the point system of how bad he lost y'all. So y'all can go back and listen to some old episodes, but he lost.
They don't even defend you with their chest. They defend you like, yeah, but you know,
oh,
but no, yeah,
I have seen trolls. I have seen people straight up be like, man, not like us ain't even that good. I'm like, no, you know,
you can see the lie all in their face.
Right.
You can taste the dishonesty. It's all over your breath.
Listen, so sincerely, so sincere. Like, be so for real. Like, and then UMG put that in there. It won. They literally put every single accolade that man had got. Record of the year. Rap record of the year. Album of the... whatever else.
Was the most played rap song all of 2024.
He was able to highlight it at the Grammys. They said...
Them niggas wrote a whole 2 pages about how great the song was. And their dismissal. They're terrible. Terrible.
Know how to take an L. Know how to take an L, and yeah, like, you could have actually been doing something else. Yeah, people are going to troll you because you lost, but, like, you're also still a very, very, very popular rapper. If you had got back to it and really got back to it, I ain't going to say you would have been okay, because Kendrick was saying some wild shit and people was like, maybe some of this is kind of true because we're looking at stuff that seems like this could be very real, you know.
Yeah.
But you could have moved around it and you didn't.
You can try to move around. Just from like watching how shit like that happens, I honestly feel like there's nothing you can say to defend yourself from some of the shit he said. Because one, nobody's going to believe you. Regardless, especially when the lie is more entertaining, if it's a lie. So you can come out and defend yourself till you run out of breath and fall on the floor, but people still gonna believe it. But if you wouldn't have just been like a sore loser about it and went on about your business, I don't feel like we would still be talking about it like this.
Agreed.
But of course, you had to be a sore loser. It's like somebody knocked out Superman. Kendrick knocked you out so bad that when you got off the ground, you ain't have your cape on no more. You had your regular Clark Kent outfit on and went straight to the lawyer's office because you didn't have nothing else. That nigga hit you with that kryptonite real bad.
Friend, I can do you one better. Do you know how Vegeta used to always fly across the red air? Every time he got his ass whooped, he would do that fly roll, and he would roll for like 8 times. That's what happened. Like, he hit this nigga so hard, he rolled like 8 times. How did it get you, Kakarot? Like,
Kakarot!
And it was even given the same thing, because you know, Vegeta's whole thing was like, I'm the real prince of the Saiyans, nigga. Like, except
you're not.
Drake, you lost. You lost. And I just say that because, like I said, I'm kind of done talking about the story. But it's just like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. UMG said, you know what? Now me and you are battling, bitch. You lost the battle with Kendrick. Now you finna lose the battle with us, too. I'm waiting on them to drop a diss track at this point. I feel like half of that transcript was, because for them to sit there and be like, Kendrick's album was amazing, one of the best things that's come out of our company for years, and you, who claim to be unbothered, is a loser, and it
bad.
He didn't just knock him out of his uniform. He not that nigga. That's Superman with drawers on. Just imagine Superman and knocked out. He got on drawers with holes, his asshole and thigh is out.
Knocked that nigga right out his cape. I do wonder a little bit, like, what type of situation that puts him in career-wise, because you're suing your record label directly. What does that do to your budget or future, like, your future in music in general? Because do they blackball you now? Because you're suing me. I'd imagine you can't really just be releasing music like that because we got this thing going on.
So I'm of two minds of this, right? I think there will be some effect. I don't think it'll be that much, though. I would say he's still the second biggest rapper in the world. I feel like Kendrick might have taken his place, rightfully so. We love Kendrick Lamar in these parts. But he's still very high up there. Like I said, if he's not number one, he's certainly number two. Here's my whole thing with the record label thing. If it was that situation or that serious, the way you could have and honestly should have went about this was just to leave the label.
If you could, yeah.
Yeah, go back to some of our older episodes, me and Atticus talked about this, and I even told him my conspiracy was that there was already beef between him and the label. So it wasn't just him and Kendrick, it was also him and the label. So this was his way out. Mm-hmm. So he kind of was trying to, like, kill two birds with one stone, and it looks like he finna be the bird getting hit with several stones. Cause
you ain't lying.
This is backfiring like hell. And, you know, you have this gambling problem. You have this other stuff. There's plenty of reasons that UMG could have been like, you know what, girl, actually, we want you out too. So I don't think it's just him coming after the label because of his situation. I think this was his way of trying to get out. And I think they want to get rid of him too. But it's back to your question. I'm sorry. I'm rambling, y'all. But I think overall he'll be fine. I don't think another label will sign him,
do you need to be signed with that level of success?
There we go. That's my point. That is the summarization of my point. A lot of talking, less words. Addy hit it right on the head. Like, he doesn't really need it. Is it going to hurt his budget? Yeah. I think stuff like that will affect him because he's used to having that money fronted to him. That's all. For those who don't know, that's literally all a record label does. That's all you are. You're a loan. Exactly. You are a loan. We invest in you. We get our money back. And then you make some extra money in the meantime. That's it. That's how that game turns over. He won't have access to that. So he'll be fronting a lot of his own stuff. Or maybe, you know, looking for brand deals and stuff like that. But then, like, the brand. Here's what hurt him. You did this and then you made yourself look weird and all these other things. Now a lot of people ain't going to be, they're going to be like, no, I'm actually going to pass. I'm good.
I honestly feel like ain't nobody going to pay a second thought to none of them allegations. After all this is over, I feel like that's going to be dead in the water and he'll just be back to normal. But the reason I asked the question I asked is because this album that came out, I know it was a collaborative album, and I'm not super big into Drake like that, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But most albums will have, like, a video or some type of promotion, and I ain't really see no promotion for this project other than them just saying it was coming out. Which, in his defense, a lot of artists are doing that nowadays. Like, a lot of albums just came out with no...
Yeah.
No,
I think that's a new standard now, pretty much.
It might actually be the new standard. But for him, I'm like, Drake got a whole bunch of videos. Like, this came, and there was, like, nothing. And I still don't think there's anything for it. I was like, did they cut you off at the heels like that already?
I mean, I wouldn't say, like, any videos. I mean, we knew it was coming. It had been talked about. But, like, I mean, again, if it had anything... any ties to do with UMG, yeah, they're like, no, we're literally not gonna push you out. So yeah, you played in your own face with that. But UMG's motion to get this moved or get this dismissed was so funny to me because I was like, oh girl, they are really fed up with you. They're like, this shit is trivial and go ahead and cut it now.
You need to cut it.
You're gonna lose. We're gonna hire every single one of our best lawyers to go ahead and shut this shit down. So you're going to lose regardless. The last story that I want to talk about, which just recently happened, but is also kind of funny to me, is that there was recently a law passed or an executive order signed to where they were bringing back certain elements of segregation. And this is funny to me. I'm going to tell you why this is funny to me. Now, a lot of people are getting it confused with the 1964 Federal Act of Civil Rights. That's not the same thing. That is the actual, like, that is the actual law that prevents segregation. So this is something different, but kind of in the same realm of things. y'all, I'm sorry, my throat is itching. My boss coughed in my nostrils the other day, literally. So I hope he isn't sick and he's just got like smoker's cough. This nigga didn't cover his mouth at all. He was like, right in my face. Do you remember how Jim Carrey from The Mask was coughing in that man's face in that dying scene? That's how he coughed in my, like, it was so strong, I felt the air go up my nostrils. I was like, oh, well, I hope he doesn't have COVID, bitch, because I'm going to die.
I don't, also don't know if it's the same there, but I went outside today. I ain't been outside since Sunday. Went outside today. My car was yellow, bitch. It's that time.
Also, it is that time, and your girl has terrible allergies, too, so
who knows? That might be the reason my eyes are burning, too. I ain't think about that, but
I'm prepared, though. Bitch, I got vitamin C, them little packets with them extra vitamins. I drink hella water.
Not the emergency, so. Bitch.
Yes, yes. I ain't playing them games. But as far as the segregation thing goes, I've seen a lot of things on TikTok and just people cracking jokes. And I'm with the, again, they're trying so hard to trigger Black people. And when I tell you the way we aren't giving a fuck is just blessing my heart. It really is blessing my heart. And it's funny as hell to watch and see. But somebody said,
it's like you're grasping at straws now. Like, okay, girl, whatever.
Whatever. Girl, whatever. But again, keep pissing Black people off. We contribute to $1.7 trillion of consumerism, capitalistic, all them C's. Money, bitch. We boost the economy by $1.7 trillion. So yeah, keep on egging us on. But yeah, I thought somebody said, I can't wait to go to an all Black party and be like, get that white bitch out of here. I don't know why. I was like, oh my God. Listen.
I saw that one too. I love it.
I was like,
the energy.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all are trying so hard. And when I tell you, you know what I think about that brings joy to my heart in such a dark way. I wonder how the Trump for Blacks or the Blacks for Trumps are doing right now. Or the Mexicans for Trump. How's those eggs?
How's those eggs? How's those handcuffs? How's that flight?
How's Nana doing back in Venezuela? And before y'all get on me, understand, I do not believe in any of this. I believe in free borders. I believe people fleeing their country because they want better. Speaking of that, why did the pilgrims come over here? Clock it. I need somebody to tell me really quickly. Why did they come over here? Because they were tired of the tyranny of Britain. And they wanted to do what? Start over again. You know, I just... What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I think that is going to indeed be the name of the episode. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
I'm going to take this part out because I'm going to be a little bit messy.
Be messy, friend.
In Jason's Discord, one of his friends, around election time, me and Jason were talking about voting and, you know, all the different stuff. And he was in there saying he wasn't going to vote. A white dude that worked for the government. Worked for the feds. So I was in there. I don't think I haven't talked to him since then. Because to be honest, I was a little bit pissed off. And I was like...
Right.
Even, like, the only thing I could think about is... You feel like it's not going to affect you. Or your one vote doesn't matter. But you're friends with a bunch of people of color. Mm-hmm. Who this would directly impact, especially Smitty. Like, think of everything he got going on. Why do you think that this stuff doesn't anywho, he had or he was supposed to, or Jason was telling me he had went on like a boat or something, like a Navy boat or something a while back. So when I was speaking, I was like, how was your boat trip? It's like fucking, fucking terrible. I was like, why? What happened? It's like, well, I almost got fired twice. Every day I came back, it was some more shit. First, they took all of our fucking, our working from home away, so now we gotta go back to the fucking office. They keep telling us to do all this other shit, and every time we go back, it's something different, so nobody knows what's going on, and maybe I'll survive this third culling they're about to do. It's like, oh no. And that's all I could say, but in the background, I was like... Yeah.
The world's smallest violin.
Look. Right. In the background, I'm like, oh. Oh, damn.
You know what sucks.
I can't imagine what it's like to be you right now. These are literally the words I'm saying, but I'm like being so fucking fake.
Baby.
Well, sir.
Play
you and all
stupid.
Those other my vote don't matter people. You know?
Play stupid games. Win stupid prizes.
You said it didn't matter. I guess it don't matter.
Listen. Love it. I don't know. Michelle Obama said it best. She said, his ugliness is going to touch everyone. I don't understand. I just think everybody in like half society is insane. I know that sounds crazy, but I really do. I think Americans' water have been tainted, and something is wrong. Like, it's very clearly one thing, and people missing it. If your bigotry and hatred and whatever else has got you this blinded, that you are quite literally willing to sink yourself. Oh gosh, you know,
and
I don't know what to tell
you. You have to bend your mind around the truth to act like you don't get it, and you want to just intentionally
Atticus,
misunderstand and misrepresent everything.
Atticus,
go for
Edward,
it.
You better
have
talk.
It.
You better.
I can't
love
argue
that.
With you.
He said the way you have to bend your mind. That is a brilliant way of putting it. You better, friend, because that's what it is. It is mind Jedi trick. Like, there's no way.
Them niggas be like Mr. Fantastic trying to dodge the truth. They be all over the place.
It is literally no way that, like everybody he's anyways, girl, who cares?
And some of it, it's the part that gets me is, like, the pointlessness of it. Like, y'all really ain't have nothing better to do. Like, girl, go somewhere. Damn. Do something productive. Shit.
Do something productive. You just, it's embarrassing. And...
Right. Gulf of America, you really wasted your time with that.
But how's your eggs?
High? Expensive?
How's everything else. The market crashing. Oh. Tesla burning.
Oh.
People still insane. No insurance. No anything.
Expensive.
Love this for y'all.
How is everything since he took office? Expensive.
They are bucking, and it is the funniest shit to see. He lied! Did he?
I don't think so. He's doing everything he said.
Did he? Sorry you can't read books.
If you ask me, this is one of the rare times where a politician actually told the truth.
Come on, clock it.
He actually told the truth the entire time.
The entire time. Y'all
he ain't
just,
tell not one lie.
He literally could be like, I stabbed a baby in the chest. And his people would be like, well, what the fuck did the baby do? What?
He cried. He cried too much. I was tired. Dirty.
Well, what type of baby was it now? Was it I'm a Christian. I'm going to Jesus. Our God is an awesome.
Cover everything up with Jesus. It'll be all right. Smother it in a little bit of Jesus and it'll taste fine.
I can't wait for them to. Jesus hit like that thing. You know how like people that game where you like throw the ball and they fall in the water. He just gonna like throw something, throw a stone, and they just gonna fall straight into hell.
You're gonna be like, nigga, you can't die. You're not going nowhere. You don't deserve to be here or hell. You're gonna live in this body forever. Your ass gonna be like Death Becomes Her and that bitch start falling apart.
Gagged. Gagged.
You can't go nowhere. You're staying here forever.
Ooh. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, win stupid ass prizes. Anyways, that's all I got for Top Shelf this week. Black people continue to rest, continue to be at peace. I have not had the most peaceful or productive week, and I'm kind of pissed off about a few things that's happening, unfortunately, thanks to the government and capitalism and all this other shit. But you know what? One thing about me is I have been all right before, and I'm going to be all right again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on period.
And always will be. I'm telling you, always have been all right, always will be all right.
Always will be. To this main topic, y'all, rejection.
Rejection.
So, Fran, what's your thoughts on rejection?
So, when I was actually looking at this, first of all, great topic, by the way.
Thank you.
Because one, I'd first kind of like to talk about the different ways rejection happens, and then some of the ways that it happens that you may not even think about as rejection. So some of them are obviously rejection, but others aren't. So let me get into that just a little bit.
Get into it, Frank.
So first, the first form is the social rejection, being left out of groups, activities, or social events, dismissal of ideas or contributions. So anybody who's worked in more of a corporate setting, this is one that you've had to deal with, I'm pretty sure, way more times than not. And this is just by even existing. Yes. At least you've definitely gone through it at least once. But especially to say being in, if you're outnumbered, you know what I mean. You probably go through that a little bit more often.
Friends, say what you're trying to say. If you're an African American and or other in any capacity.
If you are.
Then you are typically.
It's a lot of these. Your idea goes whoop, well, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
And then one of these says the same thing. It's a wonderful idea. But anywho.
Friend, that could never happen to me again because I would be on news. I would be on Fox and CNN because that would be my 13th reason.
The next one is lack of validation or appreciation. Not receiving acknowledgement or appreciation for your efforts. This is one I think that goes unnoticed a lot of time because this can happen in whatever relationship. This happens in family relationships, like friendships, any type of relationship you have, this one can happen in. And I don't always think it's intentional sometimes, but I feel like I might be guilty of doing that to people every once in a while. So if I ever make you feel like that, I do apologize. I don't mean it. Just a little bit Aquarian. I'll just say that. Yes. Silent treatment or ghosting. Cultural or identity-based rejection. Rejection from a creative or artistic pursuit. Rejection in personal growth or self-improvement. So when you set personal goals or self-improvement and fail to meet them, it can feel like you're rejecting yourself. Lord knows I done been through this one a lot, but I ain't never think about it like that before. Jeez, as a form of rejection. Please. I was like, God damn.
But they read the shit out of me.
You ain't lying, but that's that's really true. And then rejection of personal boundaries. This is the last one I'm going to talk about because it's a whole bunch of them. When you set boundaries, whether emotional, physical, or mental, and others dismiss or disrespect them, it can feel like a form of rejection. Not having your limits acknowledged or respected can be emotionally draining and lead to feelings of invalidation.
Mm.
Lord have mercy on that one right there. God damn. Because it ain't that hard. But when it comes to rejection, in all forms, and even in some of the ones I like just mentioned, which one do you feel like you've dealt with the most? And what do you feel like some of the the ways you cope with that is.
I will say there are two different versions of hope, right? We have the version that y'all know now and the version that was. The version that was did not handle certain types of rejection well. And again, I think that is just that I hadn't brought up Zodiacs in a while, but of course I got to because I love it. But it is, this is a known fact about Libras, unfortunately. We are people pleasers. We like to be seen and heard and take care of people and fairy shit. That can be, that's the only way. Fairy shit. I think when we get rejected, it fucks with us a totally different way because it's just like, well, I gave you everything. Why don't you want me here? Mm. Also a bit narcissistic. Looking back, that's definitely a bit narcissistic because it's like, well, I did this for you. Why didn't you do it for me? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you just can't control how other people react to you. And maybe whatever it is they wanted from whatever was not the same. That's them. And that just is what it is. Today, I don't put myself in situations to where I see rejection as an outcome. And I don't know how to explain that fully. It's just like I don't...
You set yourself up to succeed.
Yeah, I don't put myself in situations... Like, the moment, and I mean the moment now at my big age that I realize that there is a potential issue... Either I'm going to exit the situation or I'm going to, something is going to happen. I'm going to maneuver around whatever it is to prevent and avoid there being an issue. Mm-hmm. 'Cause as far as people goes, child, let me even remotely feel like I'm irritating you or I'm a bother to you of any sorts. You don't have to worry about it.
You ain't got to worry about it, Craig. You ain't got to worry about nothing no more. I'll leave you alone.
Quick. And it's not personal. I genuinely don't dislike you. I don't hate you. I don't have... It's a lot of people who think I have ill feelings towards them, and I don't.
I might just dislike you a little bit.
not even that. It's like the moment I saw something I didn't like versus me getting to a point to where I'm not going to like you, I just said, let me go ahead and find my way out of this situation.
That's fair.
Because, I don't... I'm more focused on the fact that I don't have the time to waste thinking about what somebody else did to me. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. You're not that relevant in my world. Mm-hmm. And that just, it seems a bit cold, but that is what it is. I cannot allow that to happen. You have no control over here. So that's kind of how I maneuver now. I mean, I think I'm also of enough age to where rejection, I've been rejected so much in so many different ways that I also kind of,
I don't think in our hemisphere, rejection comes in a lot of different forms.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with that.
I just don't think it affects me the same anymore. Now it's just okay, it is what it is. I'm very much it is what it is these days. It happens. Shit happens. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be at this job. Maybe I wasn't supposed to have this woman. Maybe I wasn't supposed to have this. Maybe I wasn't supposed to have that. And then oftentimes, you hear old church folks say this, and I try not to listen to them because they be bat crazy more times than not. But one of my favorite old sayings is that sometimes – that protection is God. That rejection is God's protection, and
they ain't lying.
I was gonna say. I fear they ate with that one. I fear they ate with that.
They ate with that one. They might be lying about a lot more stuff, but they ain't lying about that one.
And that's another thing too. I think I've also accepted that. What's for me is for me, and where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to be. So when rejection presents itself, I'm not in a mood to necessarily battle with it because maybe this isn't the direction. Maybe this wasn't the path that I was supposed to take to get to where I want to get or to get what I want in general. Maybe there was another path or another direction that I needed to take.
True.
And this could have been detrimental to me because, and that's the thing, when you're dealing with rejection. People don't realize, and we actually talked about this in the love episode last week, where it was just like, we have this thing in our minds to where stuff doesn't work out or things don't go a certain way, then it has to be bad. Not all things are bad. Sometimes it just is what it is. It doesn't work. It doesn't mean it's broken. It just doesn't work for you in your situation at your moment in time. And sometimes I tie that back into the rejection thing. Like sometimes also you may not be the person that you need to be right now to get this thing either. So
that part, heavy on that part.
It's so many different variables that you have to take into consideration when you're looking at rejection or why something didn't go a certain way. That I feel like that just comes with going through it enough, unfortunately. Like, true. The more you deal with it, like I wouldn't, and I hate to say this because we're going back to what we were talking about the palm color people being in atmospheres where they are the predominant, and like you have a good idea or you say something or just anything and you know that you go unheard. I don't even open my mouth up in spaces like that anymore. Also, I try to prevent myself from being in spaces like that anymore.
That is true.
But if I have to be, I just be like, girl, listen, I'm not here to make friends. Mm-hmm. More than likely, if I'm here around a bunch of y'all, this is business.
Yes.
So, yeah. But anyways, I'm rambling. What about you,
first, friend? I'm not being in that type of environment no more.
Period.
If I can't be... isolated or antisocial as I might be, I'm very friendly. And I don't want to be in no environment that's not conducive to me like being a friendly person. I don't want to have to close down in any environment or be in an environment where I have to close down.
Love that. Yes.
But and also if I get in that situation again, bitch, it ain't nothing you can do to stop me from being hurt.
Also,
I just said that. So you're not, we ain't doing that no more. I'm too old now. Bitch, I might be gone tomorrow. What you going to do? Let me go?
Right.
But anywho, what are you going to do, fire me? You going to let me go? Let me go then. But anyway, when it comes to like the rejections, I feel that have been more prominent throughout my life. I would probably say the one about the lack of respect for boundaries. I feel like that has been a really big one. That's been a predominant theme. And just like a lack of validation. Like there are certain things when it comes to us growing up. I don't want to say lack of validation because I had love growing up. I feel like I grew up in a really loving environment, but there was also the fact that you're a little bit different from everybody else in your environment. So I was a gay child. I knew I was gay from a long time ago. Like, you can't validate some of that stuff. And some of that stuff that you hear people say growing up, it's like, if they think this way about that, I am this thing that they're talking about. So this is like one of those, it was like a silent form of rejection, I guess. Almost that kind of built up a little bit.
Come on, friend, you better share.
And some of the ways I've probably dealt with that, and I'm honestly like just now realizing some of this, would be like there is a tendency to like dwell on situations, and I wouldn't say dwell is like this is all I'm thinking about, but you know them random moments where you just enjoying your life and some shit pop up in your head that happened forever ago, and you'd be like, and you get like Tourette's for just a half a second.
Fuck up your whole moment.
Fuck up the whole moment. And you're like, Lord, why are you still there? Why are you coming back to haunt me? There's that part of it. I feel like avoidance probably came a little bit from that too. That might play a part into why I'm just like off. That boy be off in his own, be off in my own world. Like I don't too much bother with nobody or get too much into anything. And then maybe even like maybe overcompensating or like people pleasing for that same reason. This is weird. That got real weird real fast.
Friend, you better give yourself therapy. Listen, first of all, you ate with that.
That was Yeah, that's kind of ugly.
Listen, Fred, that's the part of healing that people don't talk about. We talked about this. I don't know if we were on the phone or when we were talking about this, but talking about being self-aware in therapy. And then like the more you said, the way you just talked yourself through it, like you just, that moment that thing clicks and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. You're like, damn, okay, that makes a little bit more sense now. And I didn't want it to sound bad because I do feel like I have a loving family even still to this day. But there was just certain stuff you can't process when you're young. And also, times were a little bit different when we were younger. So
yeah,
there's that part too. So, wow.
Fran, you ate with that. And okay. I want to circle back to something you said, because as someone same who has known, like when I was going through puberty, I was going through the puberty for me, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, which shit, I like girls. Yeah. Yes. And the silent rejection and the way I love you bringing this up, Fran, because first of all, again, you ate.
You probably hated the locker room like me. I mean, I loved it, but I also hated it.
Again, this is why I say I love that you brought this up, because this is a thing. And I love the fact that you mentioned, like, yeah, I know my family loves me, but there's also a certain type, and this is what I want to circle back to. There's a certain type of acceptance that you're also looking for, that if you know you're dealing from a family that has any type of thoughts or feelings towards homosexuality, you know you're never going to get it. So then you all of a sudden, and you don't do it intentionally because you don't want to hurt anyone, but then you're also protecting yourself. So then you start to shut down, you start to avoid, you start to become detached, because it's like in your mind, no matter how much you love me, this will always be a thing.
It's always there. I wish I could turn it off. Bitch, if that was a switch I could have hit younger, and probably the same with you, I would have hit that bitch in a heartbeat. Like, get out of here.
I wouldn't change being gay, unfortunately.
You wouldn't now. But would you have then?
No.
No? Really?
No.
I would have turned that shit off.
I would have, honestly, because I kind of did already, right? That's how I mean, that sounds terrible, but that is kind of how I ended up pregnant. No shade to my baby, because I love my baby now. She is my most favorite person in the world. But yeah, like I said, okay, maybe I'm not gay. You know what I'm saying? I know I grew up in a church. We read, you know, the Bible. I know this is wrong. I shouldn't feel this way.
That part too. It's another reason I hate that place.
it's like
throwing that out there.
Okay. So I'm just going to do this, and you over there tearing shit up. I heard it. It's okay.
I that's what happens when you're fat. You move. Listen, that's shit why start I'm over here over.
Rocking. Just. but so for me, it was just like, which I'll flirt with a man all day. I'll joke about it, but I'm gay, y'all. I'm like real gay. Like, this new trend with the thing on TikTok and the people showing the grills. And every time I see a woman do it with the lip gloss, something in me, look, hair standing up on my body right now. But I tell you, I love women. I love women. But anyways, before I veer off, I'll be gone. I kind of didn't accept myself. And I was like, okay, I'm bisexual. And I did the bisexual thing for a while. I didn't like officially fully come out as a lesbian until probably 21, 22. But I had pretty much stopped dating men, because my last like actual relationship was with a guy. And I told Atticus this story before, and I broke up with him because I knew, like, I'm going to break your heart. I'm going to break your heart. I'm telling you now, before this gets any worse. And he lost his goddamn mind. He was heated, tearing up all my shit, mad at him.
Doesn't take rejection well.
But I've also been that person before too, so I can't say too much. But yeah, there's this thing where you're just like, I know y'all love me, but there'll always be in the back of my mind, because I know this isn't what you want from me, but the problem is I know who I am and I know what I want. Mm-hmm. So it's like, at this point, is it still rejection, or is it something that I've just opted to deal with because I choose to be in your presence? I love mm-hmm. you enough to be here, and it's just like, you're going to veer off too much, and I don't want to do that. But mm-hmm. to your point, I love what you brought up, because that, and I love that you worded it as a silent rejection, because, you know, that is exactly what that is. That is the I'm never going to be accepted fully. Even mm-hmm. if you love me down, you can love me to Reese's Pieces and beyond. You still want something from me that I'm never going to want, that I have no desire to do and or be. So and there's always
that stuff.
Yeah, and it's like sitting with that is difficult, because I love you and mm-hmm. you love me, but there's this other thing.
Mm-hmm. This other thing that nobody can help. Lord.
And you shut down. I
could, you ever just wish you could just like go talk to your younger self? But even then, if I could, he still wouldn't understand. He wouldn't understand it like I understand it now. So, what'd you say?
My younger self would look at me, God damn! What you been eating?
Oh, don't do it. Stay away from McDonald's.
Not your younger self bullying you back into the future.
Stay away from sugar and chips. You like it, but don't do it.
Get your big ass out of here. Golly!
Oh, shit. Not your younger self being a terrorist. Some of the more common ways I saw about dealing, like people deal with rejection, that are, I don't necessarily want to say negative, but I want to say more native to people in just dealing with things like that. One is withdrawing socially, isolating self, blaming others or external factors, perfectionism. I never thought of perfectionism as like a reaction to being rejected, but I can definitely see that now. Because mm-hmm. if you think about the perfectionist in the world, how many times had they been rejected before they became this way?
Yeah.
Becoming defensive or aggressive. Now that one I think everybody's familiar with, no matter the color of your skin or where you come from. Some motherfuckers just don't know how to take no for an answer. Yeah. Or you just tell them some shit they don't like, they finna gaslight you and try to put their hands on you if the gaslighting don't work. People pleasing, turning to unhealthy coping mechanisms such as drinking, overeating, using drugs, or engaging. Bitch, if I had an addictive type of personality, like a real addictive type of personality, I would be a crackhead by now. And every now and then I think about it still, you know, maybe that'll help taking it out.
I do.
As people think about
it. No, I mean, I think that's honest. I do have an addictive personality, but it's not drugs. I mean, I grew up in the hood, so like, I've always seen what crack does. Like, I am an 80s baby. I saw what Ronald Reagan them did. Mm-hmm. It made it all the way down to our little city in Alabama. Okay. Seen what it can do and what it's done. But there definitely became this codependency on food.
100%.
I have an unhealthy relationship with eating. It makes me happy when I want to eat something. And especially when I have the money to do what I want to do. Fuck it. Of course I'm going to go spend $50 on DoorDash because I can, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it makes me feel all warm and cozy inside. And yeah, then I can take a good nap.
Yeah, and eat and watch TV and just lay down and kind of wither away in my bed and not actually apply myself to humanity. When you spin it back around, you're like, damn, one, I could have saved that money. Two, I should have went out and got some sunshine. Three, I could have actually moved my body and made myself feel better. And yeah. But that's a personal realization. That is not the same for everyone. But, like, yeah, I definitely have had some very shitty coping mechanisms. some very shitty coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm.
Could sex be one of those?
Sex could absolutely be one of those.
Wow.
Come on, Solange. I tried to drink it away.
Not her telling us.
I tried to put one in the end.
Not me over here like a Trump supporter. She tried to tell us that in 2014.
And I mean, it's, but that's also a thing because it's like, also, I don't know which form of rejection that was that you read off, but I mean, you think about that as far as like Black people are concerned and the rights that we fought for and still are actively fighting for and the things that we want and how we go unseen and unheard and we say all these things and we vocalize how we feel and what's going on and all these very clearly obvious, unfair things that take place in the world and we are still being mistreated. And that is another form of rejection because it's like, I'm telling you you're hurting me and you're hurting me and telling me you're not hurting me, which is absolutely insane.
You're so, hurting me and telling me it's my fault that I'm hurting. That,
right. So, yeah, I mean, I am very sure that's why a lot of Black people have developed a lot of coping mechanisms that they have in general. That's why I always joke and say all Black people need to go to therapy, like, because we are in some form and or way beneficiaries of PTSD. Like, it has been passed down. If it hadn't happened to us directly, and most of us, it has happened to directly in some capacity. Because in some capacity, all those things that Atticus listed off, we have been affected by, but especially, God forbid, and this is why I feel so bad for educated Blacks, like those of us who push the boundaries and go out and do a little bit more, be a little bit more, get educations, get certificates, get licenses, get this, do this, do that. We apply ourselves in any kind of way. We then enter a whole different atmosphere and bitch, my God, today. That's a different type of rejection because you're telling me I had to work my ass off to get here. I had to work twice as hard as you, by the way, maybe even three times as hard as you. And you're telling me that my ideas aren't enough. This isn't good enough. I don't know what I'm talking about. Didn't, and it's just like, is this rejection or just blatant disrespect at this point?
And that's especially true of women. I saw that happen a lot in real time with women.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say next. Because I feel like, especially when you said you were talking about people who are educated or you move up and you get into more of those corporate type positions, that's something you're not prepared for. Because for me, in that instance, it's like, okay, I'm super appreciative to be here because on one hand, I felt like I shouldn't have been here. So I'm super appreciative and I'm letting a lot of shit slide that I probably shouldn't have. And Lord, those are some of those intrusive thoughts that come in sometimes. I was like, okay, you really should have lit their ass up when this happened. But you didn't. You just kept going because you're like, I don't deserve to be here. I'm still super appreciative.
Violence is the answer.
Go ahead. But no, y'all want to defend Professor X. Crush that nigga up like a pack of sardines and keep moving. His spirit will thank you once everything is finished.
I'm dead.
Yeah. You can see him in the afterlife. Go take one of them.
He ain't gonna do nothing but jump in somebody else's shit. You remember he did that in, what was that, X-Men 2? That nigga died when Jean Grey blew his ass up.
Wait.
At the end. You don't remember
that,
friend?
He was gone the whole movie, wasn't he? After that happened. That friend, nigga smiled and turned into a pile of dust.
He did. And you didn't see the end credit, friend?
I don't think I ever saw the end credit on that movie.
Friend, he had jumped in this man's body.
Shut up.
The nurse was in there doing something.
And he said, the man's legs work?
I turned into Monique. Mm-mm, 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 mm-mm. I just
don't pay me no attention. That was dark. It was. So I don't like Professor X no more after seeing X-Men 97, 92. What is it called?
97. I mean, I still like him. Like I said, I understand his point. Fuck but, like, nigga. At the same time, it's what we, and I think the reason that it resonated so hard with us is that, like, this is what we see happening in real time. And people are like, I'm not asking for your permission to treat me right anymore, bitch. That's why I said, black people, relax. We finna be in peace, in love, in joy. And those of the others who want to act like they have some sense and be friendly and loving along with us, come and join.
Okay? You're welcome. You're welcome.
We now understand if you once you come at us correctly, we will absolutely burn all this shit down. But in the meantime, fuck it. But to see that in real time was that reminder that, like, there's still people out here asking for permission to be treated correctly and
begging.
And then in the meantime, Charles, all this shit happening, and you then got some new fancy legs getting your dick sucked on another planet. Girl, fuck you.
And you gonna come back here and beg the president?
Please, Charles, Mr. President.
Go straight to hell, bro. Oh, boy.
Eric, let boy. Me help you free your mind.
Oh, shit, boy. Boy, Charles. Charles?
Who, Charles? Charles was finna Johnny. We was hoping.
When I tell you, as soon as I saw Charles, I wouldn't have gave that nigga no time to get my helmet off. As soon as I seen him from across the room, I'm finna crush this nigga up.
Listen, that's Magneto's boo thing. So there's this funny running joke that, like, that's why they won't kill each other. It's because they secretly
I'm sorry, I love you, but you gotta go for the greater good of the world.
I just...
You gotta go. Friend, would you crush me up like I started? If we were in that situation, what would you do?
I feel like you would crush me up, but I don't think I would crush you up.
Friend, I probably would crush you. Why wouldn't you crush me? I would like for you to crush me if I'm stopping progress.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like we would both be in the Brotherhood of Mutants. Like, I feel like... Yeah. I feel like while I do understand Charles's plight, I understand what Professor X was saying because y'all, we done jumped off of rejection and got onto something else.
We did. It's okay.
Did you have anything else on rejection before I make this point?
I ain't got nothing else. It's done hurt my feelings a little bit, so I don't want to talk about it.
A little bit too. I was like, ooh, boy. Got a little dark, but that's what we made this podcast for. It's gonna be funny moments. It's gonna be some real deep moments because we want you to sit with yourselves the same way we sit with ourselves. I mean, this whole season was about accountability. That's why me and Atticus made some of the adjustments that we wanted to. We wanted to hold ourselves accountable while also sending that out to you as well, so we can all collectively be better people. But anyways, okay, this Marvel, this is my thing. Okay, this is my thing. Comics. So. I understand Charles's plight because in his defense, what he's saying is that all humanity does not share these same ideologies. There are far more, and even in our world, there's far more good people than there are bad people. Should we punish everyone for the sake of the few bad people that there is? Now, the issue with this is that, unfortunately, a whole heap, that's the country in me coming out, a whole heap of the bad people are those in power. Mm-hmm. So now you have another situation where, yeah, there's a lot of people who are going to suffer, innocent kids, people who do support the mutants, people who, again, they don't share these ideologies. They're out there. I mean, I love the fact that the whole origin of the X-Men started with the Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Not versus, because if you know, like, they always shared the same sentiment. They always shared the same sentiment. They just had different ways of going about it. And for different reasons, they experienced things differently. Charles was rich. Okay. His family was rich. This nigga, and I mean, he was very okay with his life versus Magneto, who was a Jewish immigrant during the Holocaust. And like these two very different things. So they also are not going to operate the same because they're not going to view the same things the same way. So where Charles saw hope growing up, come on, I'm finna preach y'all, because this goes right back to the black and white thing. Where you see one thing growing up, it's much easier for you to maneuver and move throughout life in that fashion. So when you're accustomed to certain things, if you saw both of your parents go to college, then it's nothing for you to go to college and get a bachelor's degree because that's the standard. That's mm-hmm. what you know. That's hit my damn mic. Let me pull it back. So that's what you know. That's what it is. Versus, because we talked about this a couple of episodes too, versus being in the struggle and that just being what you know. Like Addie said a couple of episodes ago, when we were talking about people being in the projects for generations. Meemaw was in the projects. Grandma was in the projects. You in the projects, and it's a chance that your baby gonna be in a pro. Like, you act out what you see. Nobody's because it's seeing familiar. Anything different. Exactly. Yep. You are in proximity of what you know, so going out of that is like, whoa. So I bring all that back around to the whole Charles versus Magneto thing, or Charles versus Eric thing. At the end of the day, they grew up two very different ways. While one saw hope, this is literally a pessimist versus an optimist. That's all this is. Are either one of them wrong? That's the real question here. Are either one of them wrong? Because on one end, you have someone who chooses to see hope. That's not a bad thing. Hope and joy and happiness is what helps us maneuver through life, because life sucks a lot more than it doesn't. But to bring that point, life sucks a lot more than it doesn't. So you have someone like Eric who has walked into that and mm-hmm. is aware of that. So it's like, as much as I want to be happy and hopeful, I'm also in this place of, is that reality? So how do you balance the two? How do you balance it out? So that being said, I have always understood Charles's plight. However, I'm also in reality. This ain't a comic book no more, Nick. I'm in reality. If we look at this from a realistic standpoint, like I said, there's a point where you stop begging for respect. There's a point that you stop begging to exist. There's a point that you stop begging to be present and aware and conscious and deserving and to know that you exist in the reality that you exist and belong in that space.
And like, you didn't just fall out of a coconut tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here.
Okay, friend, you got my subject. Okay, I get Charles. But at a certain point, nigga, it's been 30 years. We've been fighting your way for 30 fucking years. You know what, nigga? Off with your head. I'm tired of this. If you try to stop me, you go in with them. And that's the last thing I gotta say before I burn this bitch down. And anybody who ain't with it is again what Kendrick say. I'll cut off my own grandma. If she don't see it, she how, don't see I,
how
see it.
I see it.
That's all I got left. That's all I got left. I done tried to say a thousand times. You should have known to listen. You didn't listen. Now I got to do what I got to do. If you try to stop me, this is not going to end well. I'm going to come to your gravesite every day.
So in that, okay, that brings me back to my issue with Charles. So I said all those things in Charles's defense. Here's why I say Magneto is right. Because like I said, I've always been, listen, no matter how much me and Atticus joke about it, I've always been Magneto is right. I just have understood Charles's point. I've always understood what Professor X was trying to say. But here's why I feel like this doesn't matter. And I'm going to jump back into comic book world for a minute. Because again, these powers couldn't exist in real life because we wouldn't have half the problems that we have, bitch.
Boy.
But in Charles's case, you quite literally have a school that houses the most powerful mutants in existence. Several telepaths. You are quite literally one of the most powerful telepaths that exist. To look me in the face and say that you would not control the mind of those who are evil and mean us harm. I ain't even telling you to kill them because you don't like to kill people. I'm not telling you to kill them. I'm telling you to control their shit so they don't kill us.
And you ain't even got to control them. Control the one that they listen to. The ones that they listen to, if you get them to just go up there and say some shit, just say the shit that need to be said, you'll kill a whole lot of your problem right there.
So, Fred, I'm going to say something controversial. I'm going to jump back into reality for a minute.
You don't think if we controlled that orange peel's mind and he started to say stuff that makes sense, they wouldn't? You don't think? They listen to everything he says. Everything.
The thing about that tangerine, and here's going to be a hard... Now, this is me stepping in my Magneto bag for a minute. It's going to be a hard peel for a lot of people to swallow. This was bound to happen because of Barack Obama. These people have always been here. I don't know about nobody else. I can speak for myself. My mama is 63. She'll be 64 here in a few months. My mama and Ruby Bridges is like 2 or 3 years apart in age. My mama is old enough to remember segregated schools. My mama is old enough to remember when they integrated. Okay. She went from segregated school to integrated schools. These people are still alive and well that exist. The same people that hated us then, they had children. Their children had children. And now their children are having children. These people have been around forever. I also think that y'all hear me out. Hear me out. I also think that that hatred may be genetic. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but because I can't understand it. Like, I can't understand it.
We feel the exact same way there, because I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I feel like with everything at your fingertip, how does it still exist like this?
Exact friend. That's why I say I don't blame this on Barack Obama, but this would have had the moment that they saw not only a black man run the country, but run it successfully. Okay. Run it successfully. And I get it. Before people were like, he was still a war criminal. He said, yes, okay. I am fully aware. I am fully aware. And I'm not saying that what he did was right. However, what I am saying is the state of America while he was president was some of the best years that we had seen in years.
Lord knows, honestly, we wasn't stressed the fuck out like this. Yeah. God damn.
So that being said, the amount of people who had pure hatred and vitriol in their system because this black man won, even though he's biracial. I just want to, I love throwing that out there because I think people forget that, but people truly identify him as black because he married a black woman and had black kids. Like he identifies as black, which a lot of biracial people do that. I think that's like the prominent gene anyways. But the way y'all acted then, see, some of y'all are babies and you don't remember this. Me and Atticus it was 84 years ago. We're a little bit elderly at this point. We were in school. We were adults. We were young, but we remember the first election. Okay.
And to be honest, that was the first, I feel like those were some of the first times that I just started to experience blatant racism.
Yep.
I hadn't, when we were younger, you know, we talked about this before. Your grandparents, all the old people, don't go in there talking to these white folks. Don't go in there bothering these white. Don't say nothing. Don't go in here picking up. You don't fuck with the white people, okay? Just leave them alone. That's how it was with old people. Yep. But as we were growing up, you know, we went to school with white people. It was, everything was fine. Like nothing. When that came around 2008. When he was running for, I was like,
it was wild.
They were telling the truth. Like, this is still very, wild. Very alive. I thought that this, I didn't think it existed in the way that it did back then until he ran for president. And I was like, okay, this is where we are.
it was like, Oh, okay. This is a damn. I just remember it because I think me and Atticus talked about this. It wasn't on the show. I think we just talked about this in person. I was telling about one of my exes back home who was mixed, and her mom's side of the family basically gave her to be raised by her dad's side of the family. So that's all she really knew was black people. But it was because they was racist. Like, mm-hmm. they was hella racist. And I think, and I dated her, like, she was one of the first girls that I, like, dated when I finally came out at, like, what, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there. But I was still young enough, you know, that I think talking to her and hearing about some of her stuff was, like, my first real, like, because I didn't really experience a lot of racism in high school that I can remember.
Me either.
Honestly, the early 2000s was iconic. Thank God. Thank God I was a child. While I'm born in the 80s, Atticus and I are both born in the late 80s, so we didn't really experience life until like the 90s and the early 2000s. Those were our growing up years.
And it was
our
a good adolescent time. Years.
Yeah, it really was. But it wasn't until, like he said, about 2008 that mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, girl, damn.
It's like, it's real.
Yeah,
it's really like, real. We thought this was dead.
This is, and I think that was really like the first time. But there was an incident where, and I told Atticus' story too, back home, I took a white coworker of mine home, and I won't put the location out, but he knows. But I took him home to a little city that is not a city, a little town close by. And I remember my guy dad at the time like chewing me the fuck out. I mean, he let me have it. And he was like, "We don't go there. The Klan still fully operates and marches there." He said, "If your tire had a blown or something." And also, y'all, this is like before we actually gave a fuck about cell phones. Mm-hmm. So this is like, I didn't even have
a cell phone. That's crazy to think about now. But yeah, you were just kind of out on your own.
Yeah, I was, what, 19, 20 at the time. So this was almost two. That's crazy. It was almost two decades ago. So like, what, 17, 18 years ago? Yeah, I didn't have no, girl, please. I'm just going to remember how I got here. And if I did have a phone, that bitch was probably dead. Wasn't hooking your phone up to the car as soon as you got in. Wasn't none of that. Wasn't no GPS, bitch. We used MapQuest. You just remembered. You used your brain.
Had to read.
Yeah, but the way he chewed me out about going there was like, oh. And then literally, I think, a couple of years later, little black boy that I grew up with, again, I won't put that family's information out, but much love to them. They was hung in the area. They said he did it himself. Girl. So, yeah. I remember that.
Yep. I grew up with him, but we were in high school. We were in the same grade, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, when I used to live on, I'll tell you. But, yeah, we used to go play with them all the time growing up, me and Faith. God rest his soul. But, yeah, anyways, I don't even know how we got here. We were talking about rejection, and we were talking about Marvel and their comparisons to Martin and Malcolm, and then, like, how there are so many things that they actually use to reflect real life, but oh, we were talking about we don't need your permission to exist. Yeah, that's we're beyond that. So that's why I would say while I could defend Professor X to a certain degree for sure, because I feel like his heart is in the right place, but sometimes that's just not enough. It's just not enough. And somebody who's seen the world for what it is, like Eric, like as much as, and that's such a sad thing to say, but it's so real. Like as much as I want to be hopeful and as much as I want to believe that there's good and good can happen and I know joy is what really makes the world run, I also have to be very honest with what the world is.
And we will have that joy after they're gone.
That's it. That is where we are. But anyways, friend, you got anything else?
I ain't got nothing else. I want to thank y'all again. Thank everybody that listens. because still, like I just enjoy doing this with my friends. So, like, I appreciate people actually listening to it and enjoying. Yes. So, thank y'all. And
that's a real.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
And I share those same sentiments, y'all. This is fun. I look forward to doing this. And I'm glad that y'all like this too. So, yeah, I think that's dope. But that's all I got for this week too. Y'all stay safe. Stay prayed up. Stay meditating. Whatever it is that you do that makes you happy, that helps you get by, who cares? I just want you to be happy. Find some joy. We all need it.
Yes. And be childish. Have as much fun as you can.
That's it right there.
And we'll talk to y'all next week. Peace. Bye.